almost live from one of the most diverse cities in America, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Ted Sampson and Christiana D. And now, with one coffee table and three microphones, here's Nate.
All right, I'm going to have to say that intro is completely wrong.
Oh.
There is in fact one coffee table, but five microphones
five.
Tonight.
Five.
No turntables that I'm aware of.
Cinco.
Oh. Donut-5.
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 Five microphones. Coming up on the show today, how far men will go to impress the ladies, the big scandal about yoga pants, and the Kardashians. Figure it out. We'll talk all about that in a little bit. But first, I want to welcome back to the show, Zach from the Donut Dash. Zach, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Glad to have you. And thank you for my t-shirt. I couldn't make the Donut Dash this year because I had some family issues that came up, but you delivered me my finisher's donut and t-shirt, which is strikingly handsome this year.
Thank you, and I hope you will wear the Finisher Donut Award to work tomorrow or wherever you go in town.
Oh, absolutely. We got a lot of people over at KCRA who did the Donut Dash this year, which made me very happy inside because this was the first year that any of them did it.
Oh, good job,
Yeah, we had a few over there.
Yeah, so let's get to the down and dirty. What are some of the final numbers, the tallies from this year's Dash?
So we had over 2,000 people out there the day of the event. Obviously, it's impossible to count every single person, but we had over 2,000 people, and I'd say probably in the neighborhood of 100 and 125 dogs and probably 100 scooters and 100 strollers and 100 of everything else, it seemed like, along with 300 dozen donuts and 400 dozen donut holes.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. There was a lot of stuff everywhere, so.
And do we have a total on the amount raised on the Donut Dash this year?
This year, we're going to donate $40,000, thanks
Yay.
To
nice.
Everybody's support.
Very
so.
Nice, everybody.
Awesome. You know where
so,
going.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And that is for the Child Life Program at Sutter Health. Once again, could you explain the Child Life Program for people who didn't get to hear the show before?
Yeah, so the Child Life Program basically makes sure that the children, while they're in the hospital or going through outpatient procedures, are developing emotionally, mentally, physically like they should as if they weren't in the hospital. And then on top of that, you know, to really dummy it down and simplify it, they just make sure the kids are having fun while they're in the hospital. They hate when I say that because it's a lot more complicated than that and a lot more involved. But, you know, they'll explain to a child in children's terms the surgery, the procedure they're about to go through. They do distraction techniques, do everything that doctors and nurses don't or can't do. To help that child understand what's going on with their hospitalization and their illness or sickness. And then we just, you know, the money we donate goes towards anything to help those children have fun. So Xboxes, Wiis, video games, movies. We funded a Beads of Courage program last year that is an absolutely awesome program for the children. And then, you know, we bought some exercise bikes. We bought some pediatric wheelchairs. We bought some little grocery carts, you know, things for the kids to have fun. Because grocery carts, even though it's kind of different, that's how kids will like rehab after a surgery or get up and walk. If you just say let's get up and walk, they go, oh, it hurts, I don't want to walk, and they go, how about if we go grocery shopping with the grocery cart, and all of a sudden they want to push the grocery cart,
right, as opposed to the little tiny walker.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
would you like a child-sized walker, would you?
Yeah.
You guys, everybody else on the show did do the Donut Dash this year. You guys have any questions, comments for Zach about this year's festivities?
It was great. I'm totally gonna do it next year.
Me too.
Absolutely. I thought it was, I mean, the weather was perfect. It was like the happiest race event ever.
Yeah. Thanks for making good weather. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. After two windy years, I did ask for good weather this year. And I'm glad we got it. So thank you.
Yeah.
So I like hearing it from a participant's perspective, like best part, most memorable part, something that stood out, because I see it obviously from like a different view, and a lot of it just becomes a blur, to be honest with you. So
the rental baby.
The rental baby was the best.
I still need funny. To give that. Did I send you that picture to put?
You did send
there
me
was
the picture.
Right on, I don't remember what street is it, where the
Vallejo.
Marie's.
Okay. There was a house that had a for rent sign out front, and then there was a baby in a high chair on the porch, just chilling. Nobody around.
Wow.
Just a baby on a porch.
With the like, sign that said for rent.
Yeah.
And it was
so,
there when we went both directions,
yeah,
right?
And the second time the baby started crying and we were all kind of like, oh, is somebody going to get that? Like,
that's so funny. Here, baby,
awesome.
Watch 2,000 people run by.
Yeah, well, it's good. I mean, I'm glad the baby's getting some sunshine. It's sort of retro, but
I should charge them for babysitting.
Yeah,
we can add that to the total. We get like $40,010.
Yeah, well, even if it's like $1 a head for every babysitter that walked by.
Yeah.
That's like an extra $2,000.
That's I'd take a nickel a head that walked by.
Sure. Ted, what was your impression of the Donut Dash?
It was fantastic. I mean, you know, we didn't go in there and actually do the dash. We did the donut dawdle, which was fine. But it was, you know, I think it worked out well both for the racers. It all, you know, it was orderly, I guess, is what I'm saying. But it was nice just to show up and be able to start walking. And, you know, there were people on the side, the volunteers cheering us on along the way, which kind of made me smile. It was fantastic, beautiful walk, great donuts. You know, it was a lot of fun. So thank you for giving us a good opportunity to do something helpful for the community and have some fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Becca, what about you? What was your impression of
that? Well, I love just taking a sunny day walk with my friends. That was really fun. I loved afterwards they were playing music and Christiana and I did this dance. What is that dance called?
Oh, yeah, we did the cha-cha slide.
Right. So we did the cha-cha slide under a tree and we tried to get Christiana's daughter interested and she wasn't really.
She did a little bit. She did a stomp the foot part.
But Christiana and I hung in there for like 5 minutes. Like,
we're like, this song's not ending.
Right.
No, it does not.
It doesn't end.
And one thing I would say, because afterwards, you know, we were feeling super healthy. So we went to the Robex juice that's right next to Land Park to get a juice, and everybody else did too, and there was only one person working there. Like, I think they didn't know that it was Donut Dash time. So warn them next time, because I think everybody they would do great business, you know. But the one girl, she was a trooper, but it was like she takes the order and then makes the juice and then runs back, you know. And there was like such a line of like healthy dashers, and you know, everybody wanted their juice. The juice was delicious. Thank you, Robex.
Potential new sponsor.
Yeah, I was gonna say next year we'll just bring them out to the park.
I really liked. This was the first year you did two start times, right? You had the
elite.
I think that was a great idea. Having done different kinds of races back in the day when I used to actually run places, I would have appreciated if I was running. But I appreciated it being a walker too, because you don't feel like you have to, you know, jump out of the way so you don't trip somebody who's actually gonna, you know, use it as a a personal challenge.
I remember doing it like last year, the first few hundred yards. It's really just dodging strollers, working your way through, because everybody would just line up in one big pile at the front, and then it would start, and it's like, okay, well, I'm going to jump. Not like I'm breaking world records in time here, but you know, the people that are walking with a stroller, it's like weaving your way through them. And then you finally find your pace once you get a little bit outside of Land Park. Then usually you're past everybody who's just walking. But I'm sure that was like a really nice sort of breakout thing. Plus the jerk who always wins. I hate that guy, by the way. No reason. I just do. Because he comes back the other way and I'm not even halfway there yet. And I'm like, you suck.
We were like an eighth of the way there.
Oh, yeah. Like, we had like just started walking and we're like, oh, there he goes. Okay.
I think at the time we ate our donuts, he probably could have finished the entire race. That's
But it really took the pressure off us at that point. I think at that point, we could just enjoy the day.
Right. Oh, we lost.
You
know? Okay.
You knew you were out of the running.
We knew we were out, so it was all right.
That's how I felt, too, the times I was running. Cause hasn't he won, like, every year?
He didn't win the first year only because he didn't come. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He he was the dark horse that showed up the second year, and everybody was like, who is this guy? And he won. It was kind of crazy, and he's won every year since.
Aside from bragging rights, is there any kind of prize for winning them?
There's usually some gift certificates or whatever we get donated, but you know, he gets his name on a website and he gets some cool pictures.
Ooh, a website.
We put them on donutdash.org.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
That's cool. So if people want to donate to the Child Life program through the Donut Dash, what's the best way for them to do that? Like throughout the year? Because obviously this is a big fundraising thing, the Donut Dash, but money's needed all year round to do this sort of thing. So what's the best way if someone's listening now and saying, I miss the Donut Dash, but I'd like to kick in, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can mail stuff in. Our mailing address is on the website, donutdash.org, so they can mail in a donation anytime they like. Or they can always contact Sutter directly, either through me or contacting Sutter directly if they want to make donations of toys. Or, you know, we actually had a KCRA listener that contacted Kelly DeMarco that did the story and went in last week and donated all kinds of stuff. I haven't even seen what was donated last year, but donated a ton of stuff last week. So there's people that just step up and donate anytime they can. So Whether they contact us or Sutter directly, it's all needed and helpful and appreciated.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, if somebody's here locally in Sacramento, you can donate toys, stuff like that. But we have listeners from all over the country and around the world, too, so who if they want to kick in, that's one good way to do it. Now, I noticed we're recording this on Monday night. I noticed you ran a half marathon yesterday.
Saturday morning,
I did. Saturday. Okay.
Saturday morning.
Because all of a sudden, I'm on Facebook this weekend. This weekend was a blur for me. When we get into that. But all of a sudden, I see Zach's like, oh, I was post one picture about getting ready to run a marathon. Then a little while later, I see a picture of you and your girlfriend running.
No, not my girlfriend.
Oh, Liz. Sorry.
My buddy who's you married to buddy. Her would be really upset. Oh, okay. Would be really upset if we called her my girlfriend.
Sorry. But
female companion.
Rewind.
Yeah.
And the caption with the picture was mile 7. And I was like, wow. Way to make everybody look bad.
No, it was her first half marathon.
Oh, okay.
And it was, I don't know how many I've done. I've probably run 20 in my life. It was by far the toughest half marathon I've ever run.
Where was it?
Down in Agoura Hills.
Oh, okay. So
there.
SoCal.
It was called the Pacific Coast Half Marathon. Great dull race. I don't know what it was, but it was her first. She trained for it, and she suffers from asthma.
Oh.
So she can never even run like a mile. In fact, at the finish line, one of her girlfriends is like, I remember taking her to the ER after we ran a mile one time. So this was like a huge accomplishment for her. And I just told her months ago, I'm like, if you train for it, I'll come down and run with you. And so I did. So she did awesome. She ran the same pace her last mile as the first mile, which I think is...
That's
a compliment to training and doing well. So it was hilly. It sucked.
It's a compliment
for me. It sucked.
It's a compliment to training or starting slow. One or the other.
Yeah, it's just consistency.
start slow, and then your last mile will be the same as your first.
There you go.
And then the other thing, the great thing about Facebook is you can sort of spy on people. And you had a little bit of a hairy situation this morning.
Yes, I am a private pilot, and so I flew down to Orange County for that half marathon and then flew up yesterday to Watsonville to hang out with my family. They were at a beach house down there until this morning, and the plan was to get up early this morning and fly back, and so I'm taking off in the fog, which I won't admit to on into the FAA because I really wasn't supposed to be flying in the fog.
They're not listening to us.
Yeah, which was my own fault, and you can call me JFK Jr. and that's fine. But I'm comfortable for a minute flying in the fog. Anyways, I get 200 feet off the ground, and I bent a rod, which basically means one of my cylinders went dead. And so the whole
plane... My car did that once.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good, and especially not
airplane.
Good. Yeah, 200 feet off the ground in fog.
I would have pooped myself.
I didn't have time for that. So I found myself freaking out with a shaking plane, not knowing what the problem was, because obviously I didn't know at the time what it was. I didn't know if my engine was about to fail, if it was bad gas, if it was...
bad gas.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't know. So fortunately, I was able to climb high enough out of the fog, get up, you know, the fog was at 1,000 feet. I climbed above the fog, and I was able to get up to 3,000 feet and get over to San Jose and landed in an airport there. And so now the plane is there, and I'm here, and... for about 2 seconds there, I thought, I am going to land this thing into a hill or a pole or a house in Watsonville and not even see it until it's about 3 feet in front of my prop.
Or a strawberry field.
That would have been ideal.
Yeah, it was scary. It was by far the scariest thing. And it was that moment of like, I'm going to die. And I didn't even have time to think about like, am I ready to die? It was just, I'm going to die.
Wow. Actually, we have a recording from inside of Zach's head as he realized something was wrong this morning.
Oh, sweet.
It was foggy.
Oh, wow. How long did this ordeal last? I'm surprised it took you that long.
It's pretty compelling stuff.
See, I will never get on. I don't dig on air travel.
It's the safest form of travel.
It is.
Hey,
it's way. I have a story.
I don't care.
Hold on.
Called an irrational field for a reason, which means it pays no attention to things like statistics.
I have
or
a
chances.
I have a great. I have a great story about being on the freeway for the next show, not this show. The next show that will change your mind about air travel.
No. I mean, see, here's the thing. Don't come at me, bro, with a bunch of statistics about car travel, because you know what's going to happen. Then I'm also not going to be able to go in cars.
Oh,
so let's just not do that. But
I think we live.
I've had a lot of people who are like, you should take flying lessons because that really, you know, gives you a sense of control. You understand the mechanism. I'm like, no. I get the physics, bro. I get lift. I get all that stuff. It's cool. I took science. I like science. I'm a geek. But no, scary.
A geek on the ground.
Scary. Bad.
Grounded
scary.
Geek.
Scary. But you know.
But I have that reaction pretty much every time I travel. When I hear strange, I've memorized all the sounds Boeings make, all the sounds that the Airbuses make. It's like Airbuses they're terrible and they're loud and they're just, ugh, they sound awful. So I have to remind myself when I'm on an Airbus, like, that's normal. Airbuses make weird noises.
Here's the key on an airplane. Watch the stewardess.
Yeah, I do that too. Sit in a particular place and I watch them. And
if the stewardess is calm and relaxed, you do not have a problem. Mm-hmm. If the stewardess starts looking around with the big eyes like something's up, then you can start to worry a little bit.
I know. I do that. But then every time they flinch or look the wrong way or lean over to something, I'm like, oh my God. It.
But how do you know if she doesn't have like a death wish though? I mean, she may be comfortable
with
it.
Like, wee.
She's like, we're gonna die, and I'm smiling at you.
Yeah, that's fine. What am I gonna do about it?
They're usually giving me pep talks because I'm that insane person sitting in the aisle seat watching them intently, just crying. Sometimes.
You go Rayman on the airplane.
Yeah, just a lot of tears,
just rocking and like hugging yourself.
We're flying Qantas or nothing.
Yeah,
Qantas never crashed. Rayman, anyone? No. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
It's true.
Right.
They have not. So that's good. So we're glad you made it out of that.
Thank you.
Pleased to have you back. Great news about the Donut Dash. I'm happy it went off. So another one next year?
Yes, next year we are going to call it Donut Dash SACE.
Okay.
And it is March 8th. We already know the date. So,
perfect.
Mark your calendars.
Yeah, we'll do it again next year. And I figure I'm on board till about Donut Dash 15 or maybe 20 or 25, I don't know, depending on, you know.
Sure. I mean, Jay Leno said he was good for 20 years, and then he was out, and then he came back. So, I mean, I figure that's probably where you're at, too. You might take a year off, let somebody come up and coming, take it over, and then you'll be like, no, I miss it too much. Gotta
come
back.
When I walk, I'm going to walk. I'm going to go across the finish line of the Donut Dash, and I'm just going to keep on walking. And, you know, it's like a Western. Nobody will ever be like, where'd that guy go? He just kept walking, like a Forrest Gump. He just kept walking.
Good stuff. So if you want to help the Child Life program at Sutter, it's simple. You can go to donutdash.org and look around there for ways to help out. You can contact Sutter Health directly. If you live in the Sacramento area, they'll take donations of toys and stuff like that. So it's a great cause, and we're really glad to be a part of it and to help support it. And we'll be out there next year.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Barring something weird happening. So Zach, thank you very much for coming back in. You're welcome to hang out if you like, but I understand if you want to go. If you want to hang out and just listen, I can turn your mic down.
Yeah, I'll hang out.
All right.
Wait, I have a quick question before I turn his mic down.
Yeah.
It's maybe because you're wearing a Ferrari shirt, which is wrong, but has anybody ever told you to look like Mark Webber, the Formula One driver from Australia?
No,
maybe it's because I was reading about him, but I think you totally do. It's a compliment.
Except he's about a foot taller.
That's true. Mark Webber's wee because he has to fit in a foot. No, he's pretty. He's like 6 feet tall.
No, he is not.
Yes, he is.
He's not. Ted, look it up. Ted, look it up.
Okay.
How tall is Mark Webber?
I think he is.
Somebody told me Brad Cooper. No, what's the guy from?
Bradley Cooper.
Wait, what's the Mark Webber?
Somebody said Mark Webber.
That you look like him?
Yeah, but then I heard Nick Lachey one time too, and I.
I get Nick Bakay every now and then, and I'm like, no one knows who that is. So that doesn't really count as looking like somebody famous.
This guy's from Australia, you said?
He is. He's a Formula One driver. He drives for the Red Bull team.
Okay.
So you can look up how tall he is.
Talk amongst yourselves while I look it up.
Yeah, well, you know what? We'll move on with the show. Move on with the show. Lindsay Lohan in the news. I didn't know about this until Christiana sent me this link. She actually has a movie out. You want to be turned down, Becca?
Yes. I was trying to be all subtle so we didn't stop the show, but we're just stopping
the show.
That's
okay. Well, if I have to reach, you have to stop the show because I can't reach and talk at the same time.
Oh, sorry.
Lindsay Lohan has a new movie out. Probably you weren't even aware it existed. It stars her, Michelle Rodriguez, and Adrian Brody. It was directed by Vince Offer. He's the guy who was in the ShamWow commercials.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. It's not doing well.
Really?
I know, it's shocking that it's not doing well. It's called Inappropriate Comedy. It earned $172,000 from 275 theaters, yielding $625 per screen. How tall is he, Ted?
To be fair, it's more than I made for movies this weekend.
Okay.
Actually, oh, yeah, me too.
I want to hear what you two think his height is, then I'll tell you.
I think he's 6 feet, even.
And what do you think?
I think he's about 5'9".
He is 6 feet and a half inch tall.
That's still significantly shorter than Zach.
I know. know.
And he weighs 165 pounds.
He was 155 pounds.
65. And there's a website called celebrityheightslist.com.
Okay, good.
So you all know.
Well.
That's it.
Now
anyone
know.
Else you want to know? Mark Wahlberg, anyone?
I know my stats on my cute Formula One drivers.
More Lindsay Lohan news. There's some sort of weird loophole in her rehab thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she struck a plea deal that she could go to rehab for 90 days. It had to be a lockdown rehab. However, it would be in New York State, and in New York State, only one of those exists, and you have to be a convicted felon to go there, and she is not yet a convicted felon, so she can't go there.
There's still time. Don't give up, Lindsay.
So we really don't know what's going to happen with Lindsay Lohan, although I did hear she's going to Brazil to do some appearances to make... You know, she has like a flaming, burning bag of dog poo for a career, and yet she can go somewhere and pull in six figures on a weekend. It's depressing, really.
Yes.
To me.
It is. It's a sad state of affairs.
But thank God she's going to get rehab, maybe.
The thing is, I was looking at that article. The trial was in California. Her lawyer is from New York, and the
Correct.
Judge thought the New York lawyer sucked and didn't even know what he was talking about in terms of what was available in New York, in terms of facilities that she could go to.
And he was right, because
money,
he didn't know.
She could probably hire a good lawyer in California. Maybe.
You know, almost anybody can become a lawyer, right, Christiana?
Ooh. Mostly. Oh. No,
yeah.
That's true.
You just have to go. You just have to pass
it's
the
true.
Bar.
You, it's true. Yeah, but you have to pass. I mean, the guy would have to be. There's no California doesn't have reciprocity with many states, and I don't think it does with New York. So whoever she hired, I don't know. Is it one guy was from one place and this thing took place in another, right? So
right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure why some California dude was.
No, he was a New York dude taking
New
doing
York.
A trial in California.
Okay,
know what
either way, I'm
about.
Not that it okay. That doesn't surprise me because it's not all laws are the same.
Look, it worked in Matlock. He could go wherever and practice law. It was fine. It's what I know.
That's
it's one of the
you just sounded
if there's
like you're
one
like,
thing America needs, it's more lawyers.
It's true.
You'll never get an argument from me.
Nate, you just sounded like you were like 85. You're like, it's Matlock, it's what I know. Like
sorry, my parents watched Matlock. I didn't have any control over it. It's back when you had one TV in the house. One TV.
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah, and you watch what your parents wanted to because they were in charge.
Or you leave the room.
Leave the room with the TV in it? What's wrong with you? Good God, man.
I'm crazy.
I think so.
I've never watched an episode of Matlock.
What am I going to do, read?
Go milk the cows?
Duh.
I don't know.
Well, that's already done by the time you're in the house, Dad. Come on.
By the time Matlock's on. If you like Matlock, just own up to it.
You don't bring the cow to the TV?
No. That would
the cow get distracted?
Well, I don't know if they get
why I couldn't nurse my kid in front of the TV, because she would get distracted.
Well, the difference is, if you're milking a cow, they might poop.
Really?
Without notice. Oh, yeah.
While
milking? Oh, yeah.
No, you know what? I have seen that happen. It's true.
I grew up on a dairy farm. Thanks for backing me up.
I will back you up.
Okay.
But you sit to the side, though, so it's okay, right?
Well,
it splashes, doesn't it?
Yeah, you got to keep your eye out and you got to move, because it'll hit this. When cow plop hits the cement, it flies. Little bits of it fly out.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun times.
Thank God for pasteurization.
Oh.
Yeah, it's true. Little crime alert from Southern California. Sherman Oaks, where police are searching for a man accused of taking video of a woman's skirt at a pet store using an iPad. Oh. KTLA was there. Damn you, internet. It's going to do this to me again.
Oh,
I hate the internet.
The worst
I get
invention.
Really annoyed when I see people now at events like Disneyland like holding their tablets up, their iPads up to take pictures.
Yeah, that's
how
a little...
obvious is this guy? Like, I'm just using my...
Is that what happened at the concert went to, Becca? Was someone using an iPad or just phones to film the stuff?
Oh, yeah. Like, the whole show. It's like someone standing in front of you, between you
with
and
an
the
iPad.
Band, holding up their iPad.
Even their big-ass phones.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this happened at a Puppy and Me pet shop in Sherman Oaks. Surveillance video shows the man following a woman around in the store. He later keeps kneeling down to pet her dog. But Brittany Weaver says she quickly realized that it was just an act he used to slip an iPad to look up her skirt. He kept kneeling down and falling over and couldn't seem to balance properly, she explained. And I realized by the time I got to the counter that he had been filming up my dress with his iPad.
What an idiot.
She said she didn't want to start a confrontation, so she quietly started writing the store clerk a note about what was going on. She then went to contact police. They haven't tracked the guy down. The video is actually hilarious because I don't know how you wouldn't notice somebody like literally almost falling down at your feet. Now, she's a model, so she's a very good looking lady.
She's used to it.
But
people falling
down at her feet. But an iPad.
Yeah, just use a phone, dude. I mean, don't do it, first of all.
Don't do it.
Use a phone.
PETA released a statement saying, if she hadn't been patronizing a horrible animal-abusing pet shop, this never would have happened.
Wow. Puppy and Me? Is that like Mommy and Me?
Because they sell meat products, I assume, for dogs.
Well, that's what dogs eat.
They sell dogs. You're not supposed to go to pet stores.
Oh, they sell dogs? Okay.
It was a pet shop. Was it a pet shop?
It is a pet shop.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
Puppy. Yeah, you're not to. Puppy
shelter
mills.
Pets? I don't know.
Puppy and Me? I don't know.
It was just supposed to be a joke, you guys.
I actually thought you were serious.
No, I wasn't serious.
Oh, because the thing is, I could see PETA doing that.
Right.
That's
yeah.
why I'm.
They do a lot
the
of things.
It wasn't funny because it was too true. They
yeah, they're a little nutty. Hey, anybody else keep up with the Kardashians? Anybody in the room at all? Anybody?
Nope.
No? No? Just me?
I know one of them's Prego and making some bad outfit choices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't really not keep up with them at least a little bit, but I don't formally keep up with them.
Well,
watching their show.
Well, this article from The Sun, and by the way, The Sun is the newspaper in England that features topless women on page 3. Their headline, "Is this officially the lowest TV moment ever?"
Nice headline, guys.
No.
Don't challenge America. We can do worse.
They say, in shocking scenes aired during this past week's episode of Courtney and Kim Take Miami, the two sisters were seen discussing how pineapple juice could make a woman's private parts smell sweeter. And to their audience's horror, Kim, who's 32, and Courtney, who's 33, then went on to challenge each other to a vagina smell-off. The contest saw the elder Kardashian girls downing liters of pineapple juice before asking younger sister Khloe to judge their challenge.
Oh.
I'm out.
Khloe was seen telling them, "Do I want to be the judge of a pineapple pee? Not really, but we're sisters. If I can't smell their pee, what am I supposed to do?" The 28-year-old later ruled, "Honestly, I'll say that Kim's pee smells the best. She's the winner." So, there you go, if you were wondering.
PETA released a statement saying even they think this is weird.
Yeah, the band Pussy Riot from a gulag said this is in very poor taste. They were offended.
Can I just point out that you said Pussy Riot and it's okay, but you had to censor the P word in that article because it's we know why.
I didn't have to. They just have it spelled P in a bunch of asterisks.
Well, you could assume that they meant pussy.
I in fact do. Okay. I can say anything I want.
You can.
I just chose not to because I was making the Pussy Riot joke.
I'm wondering.
P Riot, I prefer you'd say that.
Well, it's their name.
Kim won this contest, and she's pregnant. Do you think pregnancy hormones affected the outcome in some way?
Well, it's taped ahead of time, so I don't know if she was pregnant at that point. So this would have been recorded last summer, so she probably wasn't pregnant yet. I don't know.
Either way, her progeny is going to be really proud, I think.
Sure. I mean, the whole bunch of them, really. And the latest episode, this was from 2 weeks ago, the latest episode, Scott Disick shot a gator. So there you go.
Why?
He went on a gator hunt.
Why does this show exist?
I don't know who Scott is.
He's Courtney's boyfriend, the father of her two children. Come on!
I'm sorry. I'm not up on the Kardashian baby daddies, except Kanye.
Well, there's only one until now. Just Scott.
Oh.
Lord Disick, if you will. I know way too much about this show.
You really do.
I know.
You really do.
So is there anything to that pineapple juice?
I don't know.
Thing? Because I've heard that other places, but I don't know anyone who's tried.
You know, I've heard that. People talk about that all the time when you're talking about man seed tasting better if you drink pineapple juice. But I hate pineapple juice, so eh.
Somehow the days of just talking about asparagus peas seem so innocent and long
I know.
Ago right now.
Right?
Look, it was on TV. I can't help it. I'm just reporting what was on TV. And I love that The Sun called it the most vile thing ever. You have topless women on in your newspaper every day.
But not bottomless women. That's vile.
Well, they didn't. Okay, to be fair, let me just draw a picture for you. What they did was they went into another room and they took a clean linen napkin and
and
that's how they captured their essence, and they brought the napkin out to Khloe, who then smelled it and determined who had the prettier smelling one.
No.
I really wish that the viewers, the listeners could see video of Christiana's face when Nate is describing this. It is precious.
It is just sad emoticon face.
But like also squinty, like something might hit you, like just this like
colon open paren.
Yeah. It's like something horrible is flying at your face. This I found interesting in L.A. where anything goes, apparently.
No. Sorry.
Anything doesn't go in L.A.?
Everything doesn't go in the homeland.
Well, at Hinoki and Bird, the hostesses don't wear pants.
Yes, I also want to punch this story in the face.
So there you go. It's a new restaurant in Century City where detail in pursuit of high concept extends right down to the shoelaces worn by the waitstaff. The entrance overlooks a sunken dining room awash in warm light. It's called a Bond villain-like lair. That's described in a recent review. At the bar, there are suave cocktails such as gin and lemon poured over crushed grapes. There are a few celebrities here and there. But if you're here for your own table, that's when you see the hostesses. There might be a trio of them at the host stand at the entrance. They glide across the dining room carrying menus, leading guests to their seats, but they're not wearing pants. What they're wearing is...
As are many women who wear dresses not wearing pants.
Those aren't really... I wouldn't call that a dress. It looks more like a combination between a gulag uniform and a nightshirt.
It's like a shirt dress.
It looks like a shirt. It's a but cocktail.
It's terrible.
Dress, so it looks like a shirt.
Finish your quotation. And then...
And then we'll tear it apart. Just,
yeah. Just we'll
well, it's not my quotation. I'm not...
No. Becca will hold it. I will punch it.
They're in only somewhat oversized shirts, dressed meant to be hit the thigh very high, very high. You might pray that they don't drop a menu. Picking up a fallen napkin seems out of the question, and if it weren't for the platform strappy heels, you might wonder, as one diner said, if the women didn't minutes ago step out of their boyfriend's bedrooms. And that's the intended look. The quote, the way the hostesses look sets the tone for the rest of us for the evening.
It's casual.
Yeah.
Disheveled cuisine.
When it came to the hostesses, we wanted to present something different, something that separated them from the rest of the staff. Well, that'll do it. We wanted the natural beauty of their faces, their character, their personality expressed in a feminine form.
And their thighs.
What a load of crap, their faces.
It's just Hooters for people who are like don't want to eat wings.
It's Lagers.
Yeah. But it's the same thing. It's let me parade some TNA around and get some people in.
I disagree. I look at that and you could cut a hole in a burlap bag. That is not a sexy look at all. If you think that is sexy, you have problems.
No, but if you're separating out your hostess staff who are supposed to be the greeters and the people who pull people into the restaurant, stripping them down because you want them to use their physical bodies to entice people to eat at the restaurant, that's Hooters. It's same thing.
What if they were wearing like little, well, I guess, cocktail dresses or short dresses?
Yeah.
Any kind of, I'm not, same thing, right?
Yeah, no, right. Frequently this is, yeah, it's still a problem.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a problem. I think it's a business plan.
Right. But a sad one, too.
One person's problem is another person's business plan.
I don't think I'd go to a restaurant just to look at, well, I guess that's what Hooters is about, but that's, I guess I'm not their target market.
you're not?
I don't think, yeah.
Okay.
I was reading this story to me last night. While I was cooking, and I was thinking that, like, the thing that stuck out to me was that not only do they not wear pants, but they have to wear these, it says, like, strappy high-heeled shoes, and I was like, that is so mean! Like, they're on their feet all day! Like, can they wear, like, pantsless mini dresses and then, like, comfortable orthopedic
slippers?
Hostess shoes.
You know, like, some slipper socks would be nice.
Yeah. Right?
To complete that whole I just get out of bed look.
Right, exactly.
I think that would be probably the better thing.
Or no shoes, and they should just stay in the kitchen.
Oh.
I don't want bottomless people in my kitchen. I'm just saying. It is still a restaurant. There are public health issues to be.
They could just put on some yoga pants.
Oh, that's true. We'll get to that later.
Ooh, nice.
The idea. Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa. All right, first up in Cooler Tool this week, Apple for being a tool for the pervs. Ted.
I can't blame Apple for being a tool for the pervs.
Well, they are.
I'm not a huge Apple fan, but that's a tough one, Nate. I'm going to say Apple's a tool anyway, because I don't like Apple very much.
Becca.
I mean, I don't believe in non-consensual upskirt videos, but I don't hold Apple accountable for it. And I personally really like Apple. It's one of the things that Ted and I disagree on.
Christiana.
Boo, Apple. Boo, upskirt. Boo, boo, people using tablets to take pictures in any context, like out and about.
I think what we've learned.
Tool,
yeah, yeah. What we've learned is Apple is kind of the tool of the devil, as I read this off of my MacBook. I have an evil side to me. Not a big one. Up next in Cooler Tool, Chloe for being willing to judge the vagina sniffing contest. Christiana.
Everything about this is toolish.
Becca.
I mean, there's no way to vote not tool. But, I mean, remember the whole Kardashian empire is pretty much based on Kim Kardashian's sex tape, right? Mm-hmm. So, like...
So it started it all.
It's really not...
It's the cornerstone.
you know, it's not a landmark tool. It's just all the same tool.
Ted.
You know what? I'm going to say she's cool to actually volunteer for that job because I would not want to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ted on this one. I think she's cool because she sort of womaned up and said, you know what?
Woman.
Screw it.
Personed up.
Because it's easier to just get it out of the way than deal with the nagging of you should do it. So, cool. And finally, skip it. Finally in cooler tool.
We need like a face cam for Christiana.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny.
No, but back up with this. I think the face Beck and I just made right now was a collective. Is it?
Is it really better to get it out of the way?
Yeah.
Within the Kardashian universe, it's, you know, I think it's cool that she would willing to do that. It's, I don't know.
It's like ripping the Band-Aid off rather than pulling it off slowly because you know it's going to happen anyway.
I mean, the whole contest was asinine. There's no question, but.
Well, they had to know.
No. At least the baby will come out to a fresh mom.
I don't know. I didn't grow up with sisters. I don't know what they need to know.
Not that.
Okay.
I grew up with sisters, and not that.
Okay. So you didn't? y'all didn't do that?
No.
Okay.
Even with brothers, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Well.
I don't think. I never had a brother.
That's for
move on.
That's normally for farts. Anyway, finally in cooler tool, skipping the pants. Ted.
Skipping the pants?
Yes. Cooler tool.
Sure. Skip the pants if you want. It's super cool. It's live large and swing freely. I don't know. Whatever.
Christiana.
As a business model, it's toolish, and so are the people who patronize that establishment on that basis.
Becca.
Pantslessness in general? Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Skipping the pants is cool if you want to do that. If you don't want to do that, don't be a hostess there. It's a simple answer to that.
Oh, I thought you meant in general.
It's like if you don't want to deal with the sexual harassment, you should just get a better sense of humor, get a different job.
Well, you know, if you don't want people looking at you, you don't work in a position where people look at you. It's just, I mean, that's if you don't like hot places, you don't become a fireman,
or a Bikram yoga instructor.
If you don't like dealing with hobos, you don't become a cop, or live in Midtown,
or a bindle dealer.
There you go. That's a salient point, Ted.
Bindles are us.
I would not have thought of that.
I love to talk about bindles; they're my favorite.
Yeah, it's a good one.
yeah, Ted, it's a good one.
So it's Passover time.
Oi.
It is. When does Passover officially start, Ted?
Well, actually started tonight.
Oh, okay. At sundown. I think it happened during
We're in Passover.
Happy Passover, everyone.
Yeah.
We're not actually having a Seder here.
How many people here are firstborn? Who'd be in trouble?
I'm a firstborn.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah.
I'm an only child, so.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Sacrifice a lamb or you all would have been dead.
Oh, man. What a vegan conundrum.
fair point.
Oh, no.
Dead people, dead lamb. Dead people, dead lamb. I don't know. Maybe I should flip a coin.
A shekel? I don't know.
Well, a shekel's a coin, isn't it?
It is. That's one of the words of the thing. I wasn't correcting you.
Okay.
Building on your.
I understand.
Yes,
I was just being clear about it.
Okay.
The internet hates me tonight, or else I would play this lovely jib jab thing.
Jib jab. I can sing it for you if you'd like.
No, that's okay.
That's probably a good choice.
Is it like a Passover song?
Yeah, it's a traditional Passover song. Passed
I
down
know there was one.
From generation to generation. Yeah, there's a lot of singing involved. So this is a song that my grandfather would sing at our Seder, and then. Mm-hmm. My dad would sing, and someday I hope to sing it.
Seder singing?
Yeah, it's a Seder singing. It's a thing.
And this is a bigger, an appropriately bigger holiday than Hanukkah, right?
I would say pretty much any Jewish holidays
is bigger
than
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah's on the, what's the, I don't know what the Christian equivalent with that would be, because I don't know any Christian holidays, but Easter and
Easter and Christmas are really the two.
Right.
So
what else is there?
Well, I mean, Catholics, we have feasts like every other week, but they'd probably be like one of them that nobody pays attention to.
Exactly.
So Ted can't eat bread for 8 days, y'all.
What?
So stop enticing me with bread and muffins, and scones.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's craziness.
In some traditions, you're not even supposed to have rice or beans. Anything that like expands when you cook it is off limits.
Really?
Really?
And that's when Judaism gets a little too missing the point. What I think, not to judge my fellow man.
Target has an adorable line of like Passover dishes. And then there's
really
cute tray that I wanted that was like.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Because we need a Seder plate.
And
for
as
tomorrow.
Per Target tradition. For nods to our Jewish brethren, it's an end cap. in this case, it was an end cap at the back of the store. If you go to the Riverside one, this is a little inside baseball.
Sure.
People are in Sacramento, but it was in like the houseware section, end cap towards the inside of the aisle. But some really cute trays and things.
I'm
and
actually impressed because I couldn't find a dreidel there to save my soul last
really?
Hanukkah. Yeah.
That's weird because that is.
I want to be at the Chinese dreidel factory. I just want to go for a visit.
Oh, my God.
You work hard, I make more dreidel. I'm sorry, it's a cartoonish impression. I can't help it. They can't all be dead on, or are they?
Oh. Ooh.
We don't know.
Let's hear your gay Chinese factory worker impression.
No.
No?
I haven't quite gone that far yet. I just
Did you have to reboot?
I did. I had to restart my Apple computer. Because it's the tool of the devil.
Here, try my Nook.
Should we just keep... We could just keep riffing about matzah and Passover next, like, 10 minutes.
No, I've never been to a Seder. I've always wanted to go to a Seder. Well, maybe I've been to, like, part of a Seder one time.
Next year, we're having a trial Seder tomorrow because we didn't want to invite people and then bore them because we've never done one before. So we're going to, like, bore ourselves tomorrow and figure out how to make it interesting. And then next year... We're gonna,
but
like,
nobody can admit to being bored.
Off.
I think if you admitted to being bored, that'd be like terribly offensive and insensitive.
Right, it's like being in church and saying this is boring. Church is never boring.
Who wants
right?
to come to Easter Vigil? Oh, 7 readings, bitches.
Right.
7 readings.
5 hours, yeah.
And it's all like kind of in the dark. Man, that's rough. Anyway.
You know,
do not go to that anymore. I'm pretty glad.
Speaking of church, as someone who stopped going to church a while ago, I just had to go to my mom's funeral, and this isn't a downer story, so don't worry about that. I realized that I had been to 2 Jewish weddings since the last time I was actually in church.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
2 Jewish weddings.
Not just one, 2 Jewish weddings. And the other thing I realized is that, and I'm easily distracted by weird stuff, so I notice things that are going on, and one of the things that I happen to notice was that the priest, who was about 20, I would say about 28, 29 years old, he was a young priest, he had a wicked unibrow. Ted almost did a spit take there.
So random.
So I was distracted by Father Unibrow as he's doing the thing, and he came to calling hours too and said the prayer and did all that. So I had seen him when we went to church for the funeral. And I'm in the front row. And the other thing about Father Unibrow is Father Unibrow can't sing at all.
Oh.
At all.
Unibrow monotone.
Now, you, Christiana, you've probably been to a service more recently than I.
It's true.
Now, do they do a lot of singing of, like, scripture and that sort of thing? Because it seemed to be a lot more than the last time I was there.
They do their singing of various parts of the Mass.
Yeah.
It's sort of more like chanting than like all out singing.
Yeah. Well, he can't chant on key.
Ouch.
Or even remotely in tune with the organ. So I'm sitting there and he is awful. He is just terrible. And I'm in the front row at my mother's funeral and I can't laugh. But this is ridiculously funny. And I really, the evil part of me wants to look over at one of my close friends growing up and just give him the eyeball, like, can you believe this?
Yeah.
But I couldn't do that to somebody else because that would have been horrible. But Father Unibrow was nice. He tried really hard. So that's my church story.
See, I think that's where when you're the minister and you have the little microphone headset, you just switch it off during the singing, right? And then you're just mouthing the words and then you switch
No. He was singing by himself.
Oh.
You know, like glory to God in the highest, all that other stuff. Yeah, he was singing that. He was the only one singing.
Oh, that
is painful.
Yeah, they
chant their little parts.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, the chanting part. Yeah.
That's right.
It was.
I've heard some... better or and worse.
It was so hard, but it did make it easier to get through the funeral because I couldn't get wrapped up in grief because I was so amused by the ridiculousness of it.
That's good. Got to find happiness and laughter in all of life's situations.
Sure.
And in unibrows.
And the computer's back up, so we can talk about the real scandal of the day. Lululemon and their see-through yoga pants.
Shocking.
I know.
You don't have any of these, right, Becca?
No, I can't afford Lululemon. It's so freaking expensive.
Even if you could. Like, I have a lot of friends who buy a bunch of their stuff, and I love them, and I don't... But I do, like... And it's hypocritical, because I waste money on all kinds of shit. I'm the first to admit it.
Starbucks,
okay. A lot. I'm sure I bought a Lululemon's worth of Starbucks in the past, like, month, easily. But somehow, just spending, like, $100... Or more.
On clothes you're just going to
sweat
in. On clothes
you're going to sweat in and hopefully wash a whole bunch of times and probably not have the longest life ever. I know they're supposed to be like, yay, but they're just yoga pants.
I know. And
buy the $20 fancy ones from Target and then give $80 to like
Starbucks.
The Sutter totally. Child Life Center.
And then you're in a room. You're only in a room with like 10 other sweaty ladies. It's not even like, oh, I'm jogging through the neighborhood and I have to look respectable or whatever. Yeah, I know. There's no point.
No. You're at Pete's before and after. You're getting your... Yeah. There's
I think I think you wear them to the shop.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of women who wear them to show off, which is fine. But after customers complained that a batch of the company's signature yoga pants were too transparent, they tried to make a scapegoat out of the Taiwanese company that manufactures them. That was a bad idea, because the supplier now says the pants are absolutely no different than any other batch. So guess what, ladies? Your $100 yoga pants have been see-through all along.
It's weird. Why do they just notice it now?
Maybe they weren't looking at their butts.
Oh, because everybody's wrong. That's why, because everybody's probably... It's like their fourth quality control problem this year, apparently, so...
So I just thought it was really... I just thought it was funny.
I read an article about this is a big opportunity for Gap's Athleta line, and I'm like... Wow.
I think this is a big opportunity for a breakout on the website girlsinyogapants.com.
Yeah.
See, now you need to carry your iPad with you. You can just see through people's pants without having to.
Exactly.
Right.
Or just
there
go to
was
that restaurant.
A feminist blogger writer on, I think, Slate.
Mm-hmm.
Had a piece today saying
on
that this
Slate, no.
Slate or Salon?
Whatever.
Same difference.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, which one's black? Which one's not the one that's red and black and nuts now?
That's Salon.
Okay,
Slate
so
is the one that's purple.
On Slate.
Okay.
The purple one.
Salon's nuts now?
I think so.
It's
a little weird.
I think they've gone a little bit.
I haven't checked it out as much.
They've
as
gone
I used
a little.
To.
That, see, exactly. But once you go back, you're like, was this how I left it? Because that's not how I remember.
Oh.
But a writer on what
Slate.
Did we just decide? Slate. Thank you. Was she said that this transparent yoga thing is only a problem if you're not wearing underwear. Like, because it's when you it was the bend over test they didn't do. It's when you bend over and the fabric stretches and then you can see like glossy butt underneath, I guess. But if you're wearing underpants. You're not going to see glossy butt. If you're wearing thongs to do yoga, which sounds like a terribly painful idea to me.
Sounds like a good idea to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Then you'll see clear butt. Because if they're just seeing other layers of fabric, then what is the big deal there? I don't know. I don't wear those pants.
Well, if you're concerned with visible panty lines, aren't you concerned with visible panties? Just asking.
I guess. I don't know. I think thongs are pretty stupid too, so.
Well, that's fine.
And they're not a great way to avoid panty line because then you see thong triangle at the top, which is, I think, more obvious
it's
than
worse.
Panty line.
Well, that's
way
just
worse.
A way of telling everybody out there that you're sexy and you know it. That's what
I do
learned.
That just by singing the song when I walk down the street.
It's true. On to Arkansas, where Jonesboro police say a man thought a staged attack would improve his chances with a woman he wanted to date. Instead, he said things got out of hand very fast. One Saturday night, several officers, including a canine unit, spent 2 hours combing the woods around a nature center. Earlier, 26-year-old Jeffrey Siegel and a woman claimed they had been attacked while walking back from the lookout pavilion. The couple told police a man wearing an all-black and wielding a large knife came out of the woods and told Siegel, "You can go, but your girlfriend stays." The woman reportedly ran away and called police, but Siegel stayed and fought the attacker, or so he told police. He claimed the man slashed him twice on the chest and the wrist before he grabbed him and kneed him in the stomach. At that point, the man turned and ran away. After 2 hours of searching the area, including closing the only exit of the park, police were unable to find the attacker and the search was called off. Now, 2 days later, Detective Mike Branscombe interviewed Siegel's date. She said she felt that something was not right that night and that Tyler was texting just before the assault. He then called Siegel and asked him to come in for an interview, but he was reluctant and asked several times why the detective needed to speak with him. Eventually, he agreed to meet with the detective. According to the report, he initially told the same story, but the detective could tell from his body language that he was very nervous and withholding something. Siegel began to shut down, became verbally unresponsive. After several minutes, the detective said he would not file charges if Siegel would just tell the truth. Now, according to the report, at that point, he finally confessed that he lied about the incident. He told the officer that he really liked the woman, and this is a quote, felt that if he did something like this, it would help his chances with her. After the woman ran away, Siegel told Branscombe that he scraped himself to make it look like he was cut by the attacker's knife.
I think you skipped the part is what he actually did, though.
He contacted a friend a couple days before and staged a fake attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. According to the report, Siegel said he never intended on it going this far and that he did not plan on the police being notified. It just got out of hand very fast. Yeah, because, of course, if you and your date are attacked in the woods and you fight him off, your date's not going to run away and call the cops.
My hero. Yeah, like Olive Oil never called the cops when Popeye beat up Bluto, so why would it happen? Is that a good analogy?
I would go Dudley Do-Right, but he was the cops. So
that's just weird.
So we have a couple ladies in the room. Becca, would you be excited if your would-be suitor, not Ted, a different would-be suitor, or fought me. Off a knife-wielding attacker, or would you be a little bit like...
I am way too high strung to appreciate or enjoy that or find it sexy. I would just be kind of terrified and traumatized. And I don't think there's a, like Ted and I were discussing this. I don't think there's any coming back from this. I don't think there's can we have a second date? Look how much I like you. You know, it's just, it's a deal breaker, I think.
Yeah, deal breaker. Because I would assume the next thing would be like, if I tried to break up with him, then he'd. Like, would he fake some kind of, like, domestic abuse thing? Or would he fake, like, a theft? Or would he fake, like, an STD? Or, like, what's he going to fake next to try to keep a person around?
You can't break up with me. You gave me herpes. But I don't have herpes. Still.
I don't know. Like, he'd do something to, like, shake her up or lie or something else. Like, some reason they couldn't. He'd fake, like, an illness. He'd be one of those, like, cancer fakers.
So as guys, we do stupid things and a lot of stupid things. Becca, do you remember the dumbest thing a guy did to try and impress you?
Oh, God.
I'm going to ask you the same question in a second. So.
Oh, my gosh. I'm totally blanking. Christiana, if you have a story, you should go first because I am... I mean, honestly... It sounds bad, but a lot of guys I date, like, they don't try that hard. You know what I mean? It's not, I can't imagine somebody, like, pulling out all the stops, you know? Usually it's just sort of like, I don't know. Ted is a different exception, but my dating history before that was not that great. And it would just sort of be like, oh, you're an unemployed comedian? Okay, I'll pay for the sandwich. Like, I can't think of any, like, amazing thing. I'm sorry. Oh, Christiana, do you have a good impressed story?
No, I think I was thinking of times where I had a guy do kind of a douche-like move to try to keep me around and invent, like, a whole backstory about why things were complicated. And I was like, that's not, nothing you just said was true, so...
Well, the same thing with this.
Like, yeah, I mean, I guess it's the same. But it was more like an endless stream of like personal tragedies that had befallen this guy, which turned out to be completely not true.
They're trying to get sympathy, not to impress you, to make you feel
like
sorry
attention.
For them.
Yeah, or just, you know.
Ah, sweet pity.
Yeah, sweet pity.
Word my love was without it. Because of the Simpsons.
He meant well.
He meant well.
He meant well.
He kind of did.
Nothing. There was no staged attacks, though.
No.
Which I'm grateful for.
Yeah. It's so silly. This one I wanted to ask your opinion on because you're a lawyer. There was a hit and run in New York. Now, a grand jury has indicted the driver accused in a fatal hit and run crash.
That's a terrible story.
I know.
Tragic.
On new charges of second degree manslaughter. The new charges are more severe than those the prosecutors had leveled against the driver for his behavior behind the wheel in a high-speed crash that killed a man, a pregnant woman, and a day later their prematurely delivered son.
Oh,
so it's
my God.
Yeah, it's a bad story. That is
from a very orthodox community that was really tight-knit, and like the pictures are haunting from the like services after.
Yeah. At his arraignment, prosecutors charged Mr. Acevedo, who's 44, with criminally negligent homicide. That's a low-level felony. But the DA, Charles J. Hines, said an inquiry by his office led to more serious charges after it learned, quote, additional information about the driver's conduct leading up to the crash. On Tuesday, three counts of second-degree manslaughter, each of which carries a maximum sentence of 15 years, were added to the indictment filed last week against him for leaving the scene of an accident that caused the deaths. If convicted, he could face life in prison because of prior felony convictions, including for a 1987 killing. So in terms of just, it didn't seem right to me that you're like admitting prior bad acts. Am I crazy?
No, yeah, you can.
Okay, obviously you can.
There are rules about when it can be used and when it can't be considered, and I don't know anything about New York.
Well, New York's they can do different things, but it just seemed very odd to me.
I don't know that much about California either because I don't do criminal law. However, they can consider if something he did in the past, and I think there was an implication on there that he had some like vehicular related prior acts.
Yeah.
So if he's shown like, if he's already been in an accident, caused significant damage and been told before, like you drive like a maniac, if you drive like a maniac, you may hurt something or destroy something, then, you know, then you can attribute to him an extra amount of knowledge that would make him more culpable because he's fully aware. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, on your fourth DUI, you really should go to jail for the rest of your life. That doesn't happen. But, you know full well what the possible consequences are. So if anything, I think there's a lot of leniency for people who don't have any priors,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, well, you didn't know that this could obviously probably happen. You should know by now.
Yeah.
What can happen if you misuse a vehicle? But yeah, you can use prior bad acts.
Okay. I was just curious. It's a terrible story. The funeral video is one thing. I mean, just seeing the cars crash. Anytime you see a car crash, it's really bad. But
there's a video of the car crashing too.
There was no video. I just saw after photos.
Yeah, the car.
Yeah, it was T-boned at an intersection. It was it was awful.
It was really bad.
But I'm not going to end on that. I wouldn't do that to you. A burglar's messy munchies lead to arrest. That's right.
Messy munchies.
Because people who write for news like to use alliteration.
It's true. Meg is like, as an expert, yes.
An intoxicated man who had a hankering for ice cream and allegedly broke into a church freezer to get some has been charged with 3 felonies. Police say Andrew Stephen Jung, probably not related to Carl Jung.
What does the ice cream mean?
He stole religious ice cream, like Jesus's ice cream, not like big corporate ice cream.
Yeah, Jesus ice cream.
Wow.
The milk of Mary.
In the Catholic Church, if we did that, it would literally be because of transubstantiation.
How awesome would communion be with ice cream?
We already have wine, so it's not
true. Yeah. Wine slushies, maybe.
You get to drink it during church. Everybody drinks from one cup, which is iffy in cold and flu season.
But they wipe it with the handkerchiefs. So it's totally sterile, right?
Yeah, it's fine. And they turn it a little bit every time.
Are the Kardashians Catholic? Because things could get weird with a napkin. What? Ew. Keep going.
He's been charged with burglary, stealing, and property damage. Officers who went to the church found a deep freezer had been damaged and an undetermined amount of ice cream had been taken. They also recovered a ball cap at the scene. Jung was spotted walking approximately 3 blocks from the church. He was very intoxicated and had ice cream on his face and clothing.
Wait, did you say a ball cap or a bald cap?
A ball cap.
Oh, okay.
A baseball cap.
A bald cap. Like he was impersonating Gollum or something. I don't even know what was happening.
According to court documents, he's currently on probation for a 2010 burglary at the First United Methodist Church.
What is this church robbing?
He's got an MO. I guess. During a videotaped interview with Jung, he told police that he had a ball cap matching the description of the hat found at the scene, but didn't know what happened to it. He further stated that he was, and I quote, an ice cream junkie.
Mm. This is it. You know, that he said that tells me he didn't have a lawyer with him, which just my free advice is no matter how drunk or wasted you are.
Wait for the public defender.
Yeah, don't talk.
Everything you say.
Because I'm sure they were like, do you have a, where's he from?
I believe it's St. Louis area.
Do you have a Cardinals baseball cap? Yeah, where'd that go? I had that this morning. I don't have it anymore. Yeah, don't do that. Just don't talk. Don't answer the questions.
Or just don't steal from churches.
Also
good
or anywhere.
Advice.
Or synagogues. Yes. Don't steal from synagogues either. Or mosques. Gosh.
If you'd like to bail him out, bail's been set at $30,000.
$30,000?
Maybe for ice cream.
Maybe he thinks religious places like are less likely to press charges.
Well, probably
if he just asked for some, they might have given it to
right?
him.
Right?
A few Hail Marys and you're good to go. That's really all it takes.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small Town News.
All right. Before I start Small Town News, I want to remind everybody that if you'd like to support the show, the best way to do that is to go through NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab, and do all your Amazon shopping that way. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It takes like, what, 2 seconds to do that? Simple. And it helps support the show. It doesn't cost you anything. And it's awesome. It's an awesome thing to do. My friend Randy, who does that, here's what he does. He went there, clicked the tab, and then he bookmarked that.
Ooh.
Then all you have to do is go to that bookmark over and over again, and then you save the step.
You just have to click on any of the Amazon ads on your site?
Anything. The Shop Amazon tab, any Amazon ad banner, anything there. Makes it easy. We've got Easter coming up. We've got Passover gifts you want to get for people. We've got graduates. We've got Father's Day. We've got Mother's Day. We've got a lot of things you need to buy gifts for. So go buy your gifts at Amazon and make sure you use the link at NateDarlingShow.com. All right. Small Town News comes to us from Manchester, New Hampshire, where I flew back from the East Coast from, where police say 4 people in their 20s rode a canoe down a trail at McIntyre Ski Area and crashed into the woods. Police responded to the ski area around 2:50 a.m. That's right, 10 minutes before 3 on Sunday, which was the morning of St. Patrick's Day. The canoe. I can't imagine what led up to this. The canoe went airborne at the end of the trail and crashed into the woods, causing it to split down the middle. The trail was located in the tubing area part of the park. Police say one person was thrown from the canoe and taken to the hospital with a foot injury. So that means three people managed to stay in the canoe.
Wow, that's impressive.
As it was split in two. So, I mean, what could possibly be wrong with that?
I'd say it's cool.
But that is the epitome of small town news, because there's nothing going on. It's 3 a.m. It's not like
that's the epitome of small town life. When you're let's take the canoe out on the slopes.
I don't know what they're going to do now. They have no canoe.
It'll slide down the thing. You get another canoe.
Okay.
Duh.
I thought they were canoe.
Sorry, Ted's from San Francisco. He doesn't understand small town canoe.
Canoes?
Your only experience of that is people paddling out to catch Barry Bonds home run balls. This is pretty much it.
Where do we take the yacht this weekend, Samantha?
Good God, Lovey, let's take the paddle boat out behind AT&T.
Holy San Francisco. Talk about the Tenderloin again.
Oh, man. So yeah,
it was in the paper this weekend.
It was. There was another article about the Tenderloin, like a tour.
Yeah.
Some weird historic tour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about a horrible idea. That's...
There is interesting stuff.
Sure, there is.
Still lots of feces. And not from a dog.
It's the fecal tour of San Francisco.
Never from a dog.
Come on out. How much do they charge for that? Like $2?
Simultaneously not enough and too much.
$2, whatever. Anyway, that's small town news for this week. Want to, I'll bring him back up here. Zach from the Donut Dash hung out and listened to the show so he wouldn't say anything incriminating.
What a trooper.
And I can't say as I blame you, sir. Donut-dash.org is the website. There will be another one next year. What's the date on that one again?
March 8th next year.
March 8th.
Ooh, March 8th.
2014. Look for signups right after the first of the year.
We will probably actually open, registration a little bit earlier this year.
Sweet.
I bet it makes a big, great Christmas gift.
Ooh.
Thanksgiving.
Wow, ooh. You are going early.
It makes an ideal Black Friday shopping item.
Absolutely.
Right?
You can start training early.
Yeah.
Skip the malls and do some good.
Yeah, one
kids.
For everyone in the family.
Yeah.
And then go to Amazon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you could, but I don't think they're going to sell them through Amazon.
You can get your running shoes for the event.
Yeah, get your running shoes.
Oh, yeah. You can get your reflective vests and anything else you want. Your body glide, that's important. If you're going to run, you're going to want the body glide.
And the see-through yoga pants.
And your see-through yoga pants. Sure.
Let's just call back everything.
You know, and honestly, you can make any yoga pants see-through. Just work them a little bit. Buy them a couple sizes.
Eat everybody else's donuts.
Right.
Yeah, buy the yoga pants a size or two too small, and there you go. See-through yoga pants. You'll be like the cool kids.
It's a plan.
It is.
See you March 8th. See a lot of you March 8th.
Right.
Oh, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Remember, we do two a week now, so there'll be another one for you on Friday morning when you roll yourself out of the rack. So enjoy that. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Got so high.